had an idea today as I'm pulling up the Wikipedia page for the movie Cruising.
just so you know.
To do a little quick movie or music or whatever, fun fact themed
episode. Here's the thing. My friend Sam here has incredible recall. And he's a little bit, he can focus sometimes, you know?
Hyperfixation?
Yeah, you know?
Is that the word?
And it makes for great
certainly a lot of
baseball.
Information all at once.
Yeah.
Is what it makes for.
You know, like, hey, what movie are we going to watch? Cruising. Why is cruising important? Well, ..
It's not. But here are a lot of things about it.
45 minutes go by and I'm like, wow, I have a greater appreciation for this movie, the movies that inspired it, and the historical events behind it.
And Al Pacino, but also less of an appreciation for Al Pacino, if you ask Billy Friedkin. I have a obsession with referring to old Hollywood people as nicknames.
Yeah.
Like I'm friends with them.
Yeah, why not?
Like I posted a Apocalypse Now thing of Robert Duvall as Colonel Kilgore. And I think it was like 11 minutes of screen time and Bobby Duvall owns the movie. And a bunch of people were like, Bobby? And I was like, yeah, I'm very good friends with the man.
We go back. Been around, you know?
I don't know who James Caan is. I know who Jimmy Caan is.
Jimmy Caan, yeah.
So, you know. I don't know who Marlon Brando is. I know who Marley?
Marley? How's that?
That's the rule of threes.
So today we'll be discussing
about
Billy Friedkin's
Billy
movie.
Friedkin with Al Pacino.
Yeah.
Cruising. One of the things is we're showing this movie at our monthly screening series at the Esquire Theater in Cincinnati. First Monday of every month, we show a new movie. We've done Death Wish, Dirty Harry, Easy Rider, Rancho Deluxe, Taxi Driver. You get the fucking gist.
Good stuff.
This month, which by the time this comes out, we'll already have passed, will be Cruising. It's been an ordeal to get this shown because I was not confident in packing a theater with my audience to see this movie, so I had to get some weird freaks involved. I first went to Brandon at Conveyor Belt, who's across the street from our retail store.
It's a very fine bookshop.
It's a great bookshop. Anyway.
Follow him on Instagram. He's funny.
Conveyor Belt Books. He doesn't love my obsession with Cruising, but at first he agreed to do it. Then I found some people, Secret Bay Cinema, who also put movies on Cincinnati, who are very into the movie Cruising, like me. And they jumped at the idea. So I think between the two of us, we can find enough weird freaks.
I think people are going
to go see Cruising.
Yeah.
You know, I show Taxi Driver and everyone, their fucking mom shows up.
But I was thinking, why is Cruising such a interesting film to you?
I wish I knew.
Well, you do know.
But I know a lot of interesting things
about
it. And it comes up pretty regularly every episode of our podcast.
At least once.
Or I ask our guest if they have seen Cruising, and as of this recording, one person has, and he didn't care for it. He said Serpico was better. I said, sure, probably.
Yep.
We are in talks with the publicist of someone from the movie Cruising.
Yep.
It is not Al Pacino.
It's not.
It is not Karen Allen. It is someone else. So go on Wikipedia, figure out who's still alive and who we might be trying to get.
Until he finds out we want to talk about Cruising.
Yeah, that's, I don't know.
Wait, is this another fucking thing about Cruising? Ah!
Yeah, it is. I would have loved Friedkin, but he's dead too, so it's not Friedkin.
We will be doing the supplemental section of Ouija board conversations with dead directors that we didn't get to.
I'm going to go Friedkin, Hal Ashby, and Robert Altman first.
Of course.
Friedkin in The Exorcist did a whole Ouija board thing. Remember that with Captain Howdy? And they never fully explained that, but maybe that's how she gets possessed.
Maybe.
I
grew up knowing that's how you get possessed.
Exactly.
So I'm assuming that's...
Well, the whole Ouija board thing... Nope. That's the thing with doing it live. There's no editing. I meant to say the whole Exorcist thing. The whole Exorcist thing actually led to Cruising in a roundabout way. Originally, there's a book by a guy named Gerald Walker called Cruising. I tracked it down. It's so fucking expensive. The cheapest one I found was like $55.
We've got a copy here in the show. Yeah,
it is a pretty bad book. It is poorly paced.
All right.
It is not particularly well written.
Okay.
It is both very graphic and not graphic at all.
I can see how that could be bad.
Yeah, you know, like there's a scene where a guy looks at his own asshole in the mirror, like the main character,
yeah.
Which they cut from the movie.
All right.
They didn't, you do get to see Pacino hogtied in the movie, but you don't get to see him look at his own asshole.
Hogtied. I feel like that could have been a very reflective moment in the movie. You know?
I think he could have done it.
It's not navel gazing, yeah. It's anal gazing.
Exactly. But yeah, you know, it's not a very good book, but for some reason, the rights were optioned. And originally, it went to Brian De Palma, who would have done a very good job with it. And these are all things I know. I'm not on Wikipedia yet. Just to let you know.
Yeah. He's not cheating, yeah. Just so everyone knows.
It went to De Palma. And you know De Palma from, I mean, Mission Impossible. Everyone's seen Scarface. Everyone's seen Untouchables he did. But those are not, in my opinion, the best De Palma has run. The 70s Sisters, Phantom of the Paradise.
Definitely.
Oh, my God. The Fury, Kirk Douglas. Then he goes into the 80s, and he hits Dress to Kill and Blowout, which is one of Tarantino's first movies. Oh, or favorite, right. Movies, not first movies. And Body Double, with Melanie Griffith. Those are all incredibly done 80s thrillers. He's great at suspense. He's great at not having people talk, but acting out their emotions. He did this thing where he would have whole monologues written.
Okay.
There's a scene in Dressed to Kill where Angie Dickinson plays a housewife.
Okay.
And she's at the Met. She's unsatisfied. Museum of Modern Art in New York. She's walking around kind of playing this cat and mouse game with this guy, like a seduction thing. She ends up going home with him. But it's like a 10-15 minute scene.
Okay.
There was like no dialogue in it, but originally there was a monologue, so everyone knew what the character was thinking.
Right.
And that kind of builds an understanding of what you're supposed to do. And once he figured out the actors pulled it off, he cut all the, they recorded it, but then he cut the monologue.
Okay, that's interesting.
Or not monologue, over, voiceover.
Yeah.
Now, the Angie Dickinson character in Dressed to Kill was originally in De Palma's Cruising. That's the only thing that jumped. Cruising kind of became Dressed to Kill. She ends up getting murdered in an elevator,
right?
By Bobby, the bad guy. And both Cruising and Dressed to Kill have these very either gay or trans overtones, which at the time were looked upon poorly by those communities, but now have been accepted and revered.
Yeah. Like, I think when it came out, the vibe I got was the gay community thought it made them look pretty bad.
Hey, we don't want gay and trans killers, and having them being right. Trans the reason.
Finally, yeah.
But now they're like, oh, those are really fun movies.
Yeah. Well, there's some historical context.
And, yeah. And, you know, appreciate 50 years down the line.
Yeah, you can just appreciate it for whatever it is.
Yeah. Now, De Palma's Cruising was looser to the book than Friedkin's Cruising was. It had to do with the cop, John Lynch, which is, I don't think his name in the movie, but it's his name in the book.
Okay.
I can't remember his name in the movie. But the cop very clearly became a serial killer. There was a whole thing to do with masks and hidden identities and copycat murders. And the... It's described in a book about De Palma that just came out, and it's fucking nuts, and I wish it was made.
I'm going to read that book.
It's a pretty good book. Yeah. But he dumped the script and wrote Dressed to Kill instead.
Okay.
The script went to Friedkin, or the rights, the option.
Okay.
Now,
which is interesting because of
The Exorcist. I started that with The Exorcist.
Yes, yes.
Thank you for leading me, because you already know all this. now, in The Exorcist, there's a scene where... Reagan gets a medical procedure done because they think it's a brain, you know, tumor issue. And it was in the movie.
It's possession.
It's possession. It turns out. But in the movie, the people that performed the procedure were NYU doctors and medical center staff.
Okay.
Who actually did that procedure in real life, and it looks very real.
Typical of Billy Friedkin, yes, isn't it?
It is. He likes to do things for real, you know, like do a car chase in New York City at 90 miles an hour with absolutely no fucking permits.
That's just a wild story.
Running and gunning it in the French Connection.
Yeah.
But there was one of the guys who was either an orderly or a male nurse. And if you watch the movie, he has an earring and a leather bracelet, which is weird and out of place. His name is Paul Bateson.
That's his real name.
That's his real name.
Okay.
Paul Bateson was a serial killer.
Oh, well, that's fascinating.
Paul Bateson would go to gay S&M clubs in New York City.
All right.
Seduce men.
Yeah.
Cut them up.
All right.
And dump their bodies in the river in bags. He got caught because the bags did say NYU Medical Center.
Not the most smart.
Well, he was high out of his fucking mind.
Oh, that's right. There were a lot of poppers.
He didn't remember a lot of the murders, and he confessed away more than he probably did. And he got 20 years when it was all said and done, confessing the 12 murders. He's out somewhere now under a different name. Maybe dead, maybe not. No one knows. Maybe he's listening.
Hey, Paul.
Come on the cast.
Come talk to us. And don't kill people.
But please come on the podcast.
That's right, Paul. Third Paul.
The third Paul. Don't worry about it. That's an inside thing. If we pull it off, you'll know what the third Paul means. One Paul's Paul McCartney. We're working on him.
A couple Pauls.
But, then the cops went to the NYU Medical Center and they were like, hey, what's up with that? And they went, oh, that's freak Paul. That's the freak.
Paul.
It's clearly the guy.
Yeah.
It's no one else. You say they're cutting up gay men at underground S&M clubs? Well, that's Paul who goes to gay underground S&M
clubs. Does whippets and cuts up men. Yeah.
And that's who it was. He went to jail. Friedkin found out about this. He had the rights to Cruising. He combined the book Cruising by Gerald Walker and this story of Paul Bateson, the guy that he worked with briefly on The Exorcist, into the movie Cruising.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Now, that is a pretty cool setup.
It is.
For a movie.
It is. Cruising is also an homage to the Italian horror genre, Giallo, which we have Dario Argento, Mario Bava, two big ones. So you got Deep Red, Suspiria, Blood and Black Lace, Black Sunday, etc. Those are some of the biggest ones. Yeah. They're very fucking good. They started the whole slasher thing, and if you haven't seen them but do like slashers, you should definitely watch
them. Go to the source material. It's good. Yeah.
Argento and Bava, any of them, even the bad ones are pretty good. Even the Argento ones in English, they still have fucking Harvey Keitel in them.
That's true.
But also, I think Jennifer Connelly was in one of his.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, like a 14-year-old Jennifer Connelly at a boarding school where shit goes wrong.
It's from Labyrinth era Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was like Persona, not Persona. That's a totally different movie. Insomnia, something like that. Anyway,
that sounds about right. Yeah. I'm sure you're right.
I'm sure I'm not. I just say things really confidently. But the movie Cruising was a mess to get made, like a lot of movies back in that time period. It was protested constantly. They had to have closed sets, off-duty cops. Pacino would show up late. Billy Friedkin hates Al Pacino. What's that direct quote?
What's the direct quote? I don't give a flying fuck in a rolling donut what Al Pacino thinks.
That was Billy Friedkin when asked about Al Pacino's opinion on the movie Cruising.
He also was quoted saying something about, they were like, well, he didn't have very much to say about it. And he's like, well, that's good, because Al is not a very eloquent man.
If you've never looked up a compilation of Friedkin talking shit, there's a lot of good. Them. And they're really funny.
We love Al Pacino here.
We do. But Billy did not.
I heard he actually is rather eloquent.
Yeah.
You liked his book.
I liked his book, and I liked his podcast appearances.
Yeah.
And those were recent. I thought he was going to be insane, and he wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, a little, but, not more than, it's Al Pacino. He's going to be a little insane.
Exactly.
Yeah, so Cruising is a American giallo that's filmed on location.
Also on location in
underground
gay S&M clubs that were owned by mafia members.
So Friedkin had to go to the mob to get approval to shoot in these, like the anvil was one of them, you know.
What was the other name? It was like the most, like
it was the meat something.
It was just like, yeah,
it was like it was like, something like shit, like the meat packer,
the throbbing, you know? Cock up your like it was very much like
the fist hole.
Yeah.
And you know, he
so Mob-owned Gay Club is actually filming. Real. So all those black tank tops are actually
everyone in the background of the movie is real. All the shit that you're seeing is real. They shot 45 minutes of extra footage of just hardcore gay porn and kept it in the movie for the first time they showed it to the censor board.
Because Billy knew how to work the...
At that point, he knew how to get an R and not an X.
Right.
And the so they're like, board,
this movie's not going to get made, Billy. This movie's not getting made. And, you know, you can't show this. And he's like, well, I will show you...
I'll cut.
So
I'll cut.
Much more.
And so when he cut to what he actually wanted, they were like, thank God you took out all that fisting.
Right.
You get an R. And he was like, cool. Because that was the movie he wanted to put out anyway.
Yep.
James man. Franco made a movie called Interior Leather Bar about the missing footage.
Oh, okay.
And after he made it, he called Billy. And he said, hey, what was in the missing footage? And Friedkin goes, hardcore gay pornography. And then he goes, well, I just made a movie about that footage.
After.
And Friedkin goes, well, why the fuck didn't you call me first? And hangs up on him.
Typical Billy.
I would have loved to have him. He's a fun guy.
Yeah.
This movie is a fun movie. It's absolutely insane. Al Pacino was in the middle of some pretty hardcore substance abuse, and he was late to every single call he had. They started setting it early and earlier just so he would show up on the time they actually wanted him to, and he still didn't.
Billy was good at that.
Yeah.
Like, let me get what I need.
Very Machiavelli.
Yeah.
He went to Iran to film The fucking Exorcist.
Was it Iran or Iraq?
It was Iraq. He went to Iraq to film the beginning of The Exorcist, which was hard. It might have been. It was one of those two.
Yeah.
It was very hard to do in that time, and it still is.
Did he employ some guerrilla filmmaking?
He did. He stole a lot of shots. And he also, one of the things, like the deal that he made with the government was he had to bring a copy of The French Connection so they could watch it.
That's right.
And also teach them how to make fake movie blood. They didn't have a film industry.
These are the people that are like doing the whatever inspection to let them deciding whether, and they're like, all right, tell you what,
if you bring
get us a copy of that last movie you made, it was a banger, and teach us how to make fake blood,
then you can come film here for, you know, 2 weeks. And he said okay, and okay, and he never found out why they needed to make fake blood without a movie industry.
You know, it's almost not worth thinking about.
It's kind of fun to think about.
But
if you haven't seen Cruising, I would recommend it. There's a free version of it on YouTube right now. It's not the best quality, but it is free. It is also on Amazon Prime, where I bought it. I don't know if you have to rent it, but I bought the motherfucker. I own a Blu-ray of it, too. I have two different ways to watch it anytime I want.
There's a poster.
Yeah, there's somewhere a massive poster too in our store.
Here at headquarters.
Yeah, it's a little pet project of mine.
Yeah.
But this movie is one of the most... It's one of those things that you watch and go, how'd this get made?
Yeah.
There's a scene in it where a suspect's being interrogated.
All right.
Al Pacino's deep undercover. He brings this guy in. They think he might be the killer. A suspect's being interrogated, and suddenly the door opens this interrogation room, and like a 6'8", absolutely jacked black guy walks in wearing just a jock strap, cowboy boots, and a cowboy hat.
It's a strong look.
And he slaps the fucking shit out of Pacino. And then he slaps the shit out of the other dude. And then he turns around and walks out and doesn't say fuck all.
He was just a friend of Billy's. Billy's like, can I do anything for you? He's like, yeah, slap him and slap him.
And then in the next scene, Pacino gets pulled out and he's a cop. And the guy's just sitting there, same outfit, reading the fucking paper. And Pacino's like, hey, what the fuck was that? And the guy still doesn't say anything.
All right.
But apparently that was a tactic that the cops actually used
in
interrogation to beat people up. Because then when the person went to court and they were like, I got abused by the police.
Right.
The judge would be like, okay.
What'd he look like?
Yeah, and he'd be like, well, it was a 6'8", shredded black guy in a cowboy hat boots and just a jock strap. And he would be like, oh, that's fucking crazy. Of course it wasn't.
Sure, sure.
And they would dismiss the police brutality thing.
I hate cops.
But here's the thing. If you're going to do it that way.
At least
don't just beat people up on the street and turn your body cam off.
Being someone who has been beat up by cops, I would have much preferred, you know.
At least putting some thought into
it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, don't be lazy about your brutality. Put a jock strap on, the rest of your clothes off, cowboy boots on, cowboy hat on, and fucking hit a guy.
Yeah, that's all I ask. If you're gonna beat me up, police, make it campy.
Yeah, campy. This movie's nuts. It's a great time. You should watch it with your friends. I believe we convinced one of the members of the band Silverado to put it on their tour bus. They're just going on tour as we're recording this.
Yeah.
And we're talking about it, and I
think Omar's gonna do it.
I would love it. Well, we just gave away a guest, but I would love it if Silverado watched Cruising on my account. And you should too.
Yeah,
that's that.
I think so, you know. And occasionally, if there's something that gets brought up and run into the ground, maybe it's intentional, and we may do a little deep dive.
Yeah,
nugget
it's not super deep, but it's a little fun facts here and there.
Yeah,
we're gonna put these out occasionally of just random shit that is in my brain.
Yeah.
And hopefully have a member of the Cruising cast on our show in the near future.
Hopefully.